rock and roll. Sunny days.
The perfect song for what we're experiencing now. It may be fall officially, but not feeling at all like it today. Up to 30 degrees. Far too hot for any pumpkin spice latte, if you ask me. But great weather for some fall raking, perhaps. I have seen a few signs around town now advertising sprinkler blowouts available. You just don't feel it, though, when it's going to hit 30 degrees to do that sort of thing. But the weather is... It's certainly on our side to get all our fall prep done outside of the yard. And I don't know if you have one of these in your neighborhood. We don't in mine, but I've driven through a few areas of town and noticed that there are a few out there. And I'm talking about the homeowners who have never taken their giant Home Depot skeleton down from Halloween. You have one of these guys in your neighborhood that seasonally decorates it? Maybe a Santa hat at Christmas. Never take it down. Giant skeleton. You know what I'm talking about. But yesterday, I was running around doing a few errands, and I passed this giant skeleton in front of this home, and the guy's up on his ladder, and he's adjusting the Hawaiian lei around the skeleton's neck in celebration, I guess, of our hot weather. I don't get it. I may honor this day myself with a barbecue and a cold one, but I don't think I'd ever... pretending to a giant skeleton year-round on my front lawn. But normal high this time of the year is 16 degrees. Today, a good 14 degrees better than that. This is Catra Rough Riders. I'm going to be back to practice today. They'll need sunblock with temperatures like that. And the team's attention is focusing on the game at Edmonton, of course, Saturday. But yesterday was the first practice back, so some of them were commenting on all the CFL rule changes. It was quite interesting to hear Trevor Harris, very calm in comparison, say, to Nathan Rourke of the BC Lions, and he believes these rule changes aren't going to make us any less Canadian in the CFL.
Yeah, I think maybe a bit of an overreaction yesterday by some people, but, I mean, shoot, it's still three downs. There's still 12 people on the field. Field's still 65 yards wide. The end zone's still bigger than 10 yards. It's going 15. It's still Canadian football. There's still going to be onside punts and all the crazy plays. It's the same game. The only thing that changes is really just field goal returns. But the other return game hasn't been affected. You're always going to have kickoff returns. You're still going to have the 5-yard halo returns. So the game has not changed. I mean, it's still the Canadian Football League, and we got 9 Canadian teams in Canadian cities. And so we got smart people at the top that know what they're doing. We're employees. I wouldn't tell an employer how to run their business and what to do. And so, I'm just grateful to be in this league and have an opportunity to play in front of these fans and in this country. And so I'm just grateful to be here. And whatever the rules are, we should adjust to them and try to bend them into your advantage. And so I know there's probably some people upset, but, it is what it is. And we have people at the top making decisions, and we have to trust that they know what they're doing. And I'm one of those people that I trust them.
Quarterback Trevor Harris pretty forthcoming about the new rule changes. I think a little tempered in his response, though, after I'm sure the league might have just gingerly said, can we not have everyone explode like Nathan Rourke did? I don't know. Maybe he wasn't told a thing, but he definitely probably had that in the back of his head. But well said by our quarterback. And of course, yesterday, CJ Mirada reporter, other than talking about CFL rule changes with the club, was also noticing that Sam Emelis was back. And that's going to be big, too. That's Tara McLaughlin. She's got her new album out now just this month, her 10th album released. Last night, she was the musical guest on Jimmy Kimmel, who returned rather emotional after a show was pulled last Wednesday and not everyone in the U.S. could tune in. Nexstar, Media Group, and Sinclair, which together run about 70 ABC affiliate stations across the U.S., chose not to air Kimmel pending further discussions with ABC, but he delivered what might have been the most anticipated monologue in late night history last night, and I think he nailed it. He was emotional.
I do want to make something clear because it's important to me as a human, and that is, you understand that it was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man. I don't think there's anything funny about it. I posted a message on Instagram on the day he was killed, sending love to his family and asking for compassion, and I meant it, and I still do. Nor was it my intention to blame any specific group for the actions of what it was obviously a deeply disturbed individual. I don't think the murderer who shot Charlie Kirk represents anyone. This was a sick person who believed violence was a solution, and it isn't, ever.
Now, Kimmel clearly was not told what he could and couldn't say, because he wasn't pulling any punches when he went on to slam FCC Chairman Brendan Carr for policing speech and acting like a mob boss, telling local stations not to air Kimmel.
In addition to being a direct violation of the First Amendment, is not a particularly intelligent threat to make in public. Ted Cruz said he sounded like a mafioso. The FCC has a tradition of meddling where they shouldn't under many administrations, but it wasn't always like this. There was an FCC commissioner back in 2022 who worked under Joe Biden who was spot on. He wrote, "President Biden is right. Political satire is one of the oldest and most important forms of free speech. It challenges those in power while using humor to draw more people into the discussion. That's why people in influential positions have always targeted it for censorship." You know who wrote that? FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr, who later was appointed chairman of the FCC by this former crusader for free speech.
If we don't have free speech, then we just don't have a free country. It's as simple as that. If this most fundamental right is allowed to perish, then the rest of our rights and liberties will topple. Just like dominoes, one by one.
That was also in 2022. And I wonder, how did that guy turn into this guy?
Who would you like to see replace Kimmel on Late Night?
Well, a lot of people, anybody could replace him. The guy had no talent. Kimmel had, look, he was fired. He had no talent. He's a whack job, but he had no talent. And more importantly than talent, he had no, because a lot of people have no talent, they get ratings. But he had no ratings.
Well, I do tonight. He did his best to cancel me. Instead, he forced millions of people to watch the show. That backfired bigly. He might have to release the Epstein files to distract us from this now.
All right, well, then Kimmel even thanked Disney for being brave enough to let him return, as Trump was spewing on Truth Social in real time last night that he was coming after him and Disney again. I'll get to what Trump said in just a second.
And I think unjustly, this puts them at risk. The president of the United States made it very clear he wants to see me and the hundreds of people who work here fired from our jobs. Our leader celebrates Americans losing their livelihoods because he can't take a joke. He was somehow able to squeeze Colbert out of CBS. Then he turned his sights on me, and now he's openly rooting for NBC to fire Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers and the hundreds of Americans who work for their shows who don't make millions of dollars. And I hope that if that happens, or if there's even any hint of that happening, you will be 10 times as loud as you were this week. We have to speak out against this.
And near the end of the monologue, Kimmel's voice cracked again when he praised Erica Kirk for forgiving Charlie's murderer.
Over the weekend, a very beautiful moment. I don't know if you saw this. On Sunday, Erica Kirk forgave the man who shot her husband. She forgave him. That is an example we should follow. Yeah. If you believe in the teachings of Jesus, as I do, there it was. That's it. A selfless act of grace, forgiveness from a grieving widow. It touched me deeply.
Now, as I said, while Kimmel was delivering that monologue, Trump was on social media threatening more censorship. There were a lot of people who were like Jimmy Kimmel being back, proving there was Trump post here. Here, Trump posted this on his Truth Social. He said, "Jimmy puts ABC in jeopardy by, quote, playing 99% positive Democrat garbage," and added, quote, "I think we're going to test ABC now out on this." Let's see how we do, Trump went on to say. Last time I went after them, they gave me $16 million. This one sounds even more lucrative. That's Donald Trump threatening to sue ABC again over the decision to bring back Jimmy Kimmel. Thoughts? I'm sure you have some. 1-877-300-7275. A song that might best describe how we're all going to feel later this afternoon. White hot, 30 degrees expected for Regina. Garth just texted me with weather like that. He's going kayaking later. It is going to be a beautiful afternoon. It might get a little breezy later, but still, 31 when normal high is about 14 this time of the year. We're doing pretty good. And even the weekend ahead of us here looks like it's going to be sunny and about 25 degrees too. Just a heads up, drivers, we're hearing about a crash involving numerous vehicles. Highway 1 just east of Moose Jaw. It happened last night, but it appears traffic might still be impacted even this morning. According to the highway hotline, all eastbound lanes on Highway 1 near the Manitoba Expressway are closed. And drivers are being detoured through Caribou Street, then onto the expressway. Westbound traffic not impacted, but no word if anyone was hurt or how many vehicles were involved. If you're in the area and can tell us anything differently from what the highway hotline is expressing to us, shoot me a text, will you, please? 1-877-300-7275. Look, it's time now for a little go behind the scenes to meet the unseen voices who are on the other end of the line when you call for help in an emergency, like the dispatchers with the Saskatchewan RCMP, who are the first point of contact in life-threatening emergencies, helping ensure officers get to the right place at the right time to help you. 980 CJME's Abby Zivering stepped inside the RCMP's Operational Communications Center to experience not only the training, but also the pressure that these people go through behind the lines.
RCMP Communications, bonjour.
A quiet hum of phones ring and radio frequencies fill the air.
Okay, tell me what happened.
It looks like my back door has been pried open.
Have you been inside the house?
No, I don't.
Lee Rosin has been a calm voice behind the phone for the last 20 years.
It starts and ends with us in some ways, because if we don't maintain control, we can't get officers safely to wherever officers need to go. So the system breaks down right at the front end.
From car crashes to violent crimes to non-emergencies, Rosin and the team respond to it all.
Whatever type of call it is, it's going to dictate the questions that I ask, but we become accustomed to remaining in control regardless of what we hear on the other end. So it might be screaming, it might be somebody yelling out an address, it might be somebody that is talking off, like that people don't know that they've called 911. So I think that we grow accustomed to hearing that and then react accordingly.
Exciting, challenging, empowering. That's how Rosin describes the job, adding that a recent study showed only 4% of the population can do this job.
On the tough days, I just remember and remind myself when I'm walking to my car, 4%, you're in the 4%, lady.
Dion Matt is the operations commander and says they average around 30,000 calls per month.
I would say it's exciting. If you ask me, I will say during those busy times for adrenaline junkies, it's an adrenaline rush. It's never boring. It's never the same thing every day.
It isn't easy. Matt says even when she has to answer the toughest calls, she knows she has to stay calm because it's what the victims need the most.
Is there kind of one call that you can think of in your career that kind of really had an impact on you?
The La Loche High School shooting, that was a few years ago now, because I have two children, and you always heard it on the news and all of these other places, and nothing like that had happened in Saskatchewan. And it was suddenly that this was now happening in Saskatchewan, and I could envision my own boys being in that school.
For both Rosin and Matt, their family support extends right into their second family. Their coworkers.
You just go through the trenches together. You take big calls or you take emotional calls. We live with these people 48 hours a week. So there are times when we know more about your, you know, supervisor's personal life than maybe her husband does that week until she tells him she got a speeding ticket.
We all celebrate our highs and lows and our family, our work family and not work family.
They may not be seen on the front lines, but their calm voice and steady demeanor can save lives. At the Saskatchewan RCMP headquarters, Abby Zivirink, 980 CJME.
Yeah, Brian Adams nearly sold out this Sunday night. Stick around. I got free tickets to Brian Adams. I'll share with you in a second here how to win those. But coming up with Kevin Martell, more on the return of Jimmy Kimmel last night, who made a point of thanking Disney, but jokingly saying they didn't tell him what to say. Oh, except this one part.
A lot of people have been asking me if there are conditions for my return to the air, and there is one. Disney has asked me to read the following statement. I've agreed to do it. Here we go. To reactivate your Disney Plus and Hulu account, open the Disney Plus app on your smart TV or TV-connected device.
There were a lot of people in protest threatening to cancel their subscriptions with Disney. So that's the only poke he took at saying that they suggested. The rest was all Jimmy. He did not hold back, and more on that coming up here in just a moment. And the reaction from the president, who in real time was using Truth Social to say he's going to be suing ABC for putting Kimmel back on. Season 49 of Survivor starts tonight. I've never missed a season. I will not miss tonight either. I'll be cheering for Regina's Jake Latimer, the first Regina contestant. We had one for Moose Jaw, but now Regina. Jake went to school here in Regina at WS Harlac, then to Balfour. He told me a few weeks ago when he stopped by the studio that he applied once before, or pardon me, he had never applied. His brother had, but he got it first crack to be on Survivor.
This was the first one. Yeah, I have plenty because my little brother, Max, he's applied 8 or 9 times.
Oh, no.
He hasn't got a call back. So
are you talking as brothers still?
No, he's super pumped for me right now, but he didn't have a faith that I was going to do very well on the show.
But?
I can't say.
Of course you can't say. I know. What was the inspiration to want to do Survivor?
Growing up, mom and dad, we watched Survivor. Now, kind of fast forwarding, so my dad has glaucoma. This is going to be the last season that he's going to be able to see. His doctor said he's going to be completely blind by the end of the year, sorry. So for me to play in front of my dad one more time on his favorite show, it means a lot to me.
That's pretty special.
So a big motivational factor there. And then as you can see behind me here, got a little baby boy.
Was Jax born while you were away in Fiji?
Yeah, so that was kind of the narrative. So when I applied for Survivor, me and my wife, we were trying to get pregnant for 4.5 years, and we just couldn't get pregnant.
Yeah.
And then I applied for Survivor, and during my application process, we found out that she was pregnant. So nice. Little miracle. However, when I got that call that I'm going to be on the show while I was going to be gone is when right in the middle of when the due date was. So
wow.
So I had a big decision to make. There was no way my wife was not letting me go and try to bring home $1 million, 1 in 18 chance for a brand new baby boy. So,
yeah, I bet.
Nice little surprise when I got home, right?
Jake Latimer from Regina on Survivor tonight. And I sure hope he goes deep. I don't know. I didn't get any indication. I tried to crack him when he was in the studio here to see if I get any indication that he might have won it, but he's a tough cookie to crack. All right. This morning, I have a couple of pairs of tickets to award for the almost sold-out Brian Adams concert at the Brandt. There's just single tickets left and a few, you know, those resales up for grabs, but I've got not one, but two pair. You'll have to text me the correct answer along with your first and last name to 1-877-300-7275. So correct answer to what, you ask? Well, let me tell you this phony little story. I'm out on a date the other night when she tells me she wants who will love her. I say, baby, I even tell her I miss her. But then halfway through dinner, she drops the bomb. She said, Greg, I'm in love with Brian Adams. And it's no. Honestly, it's just thinking about it. So I said to her, she'll never find another like me. As she blew out the door, headed for Brian's hometown. But it made no difference as she looked back and just sang. But I'm still chasing after Annie out. A reminder, you're only. And don't you know I'm doing this. Wasn't enough. She gone. But man, I just got to have her back. There's only one problem. I don't know where Brian Adams' hometown is. So if you do, text me, 1-877-300-7275. Brian Adams' hometown, where is it? Your first and last name, include that in the text. Everyone who gets it right gets in the draw. After 8 o'clock, I make a grand prize draw for not one but two pairs of tickets to see Brian Adams this Sunday night at the Brandt Center. It's nearly sold out. It's going to be an amazing evening of entertainment. 1-877-300-7275.